going on, Blackheads family? Welcome to another edition of Culture Connection. This is your host, Brother Malcolm, and I'm so excited to be here another week, another day. God has blessed me with another day of bread. Okay, anyway, we're going to stop that foolishness. We are so excited because we have a sponsor here at Blackheads, and just want to give a shout out to Mickey Bay Eyelash Extensions, www.mblashes.com. Mickey Bay Eyelash Extensions can be found on Twitter and Instagram at Mickey Bay, that's MIKKIBEY, or on Facebook.com at Mickey Bay Eyelash Extensions.com. And you can reach Mickey Bay at 310-895-1898. You can also book appointments online. So check out Mickey Bay Eyelash Extensions. Again, Mickey Bay Eyelash Extensions, mblashes.com. Thank you, Mickey Bay. We appreciate your support here on Black Is Online. This week, I wanted to talk about some recent news that happened, but I specifically wanted to contextualize it around a particular set of events. So I want to welcome to Culture Connection some of the celebrities of Black Is Online. Ladies and gentlemen, let me first start with the co-founder and creator of the Brothers Layman Happy Hour. It's my pleasure to welcome Brother Chris Layman.
What's up? What's going on?
What up, Brother Chris Layman? Thank you. Thank you so much for joining us today. And then my God, we would all be remiss. We wouldn't even have a mic to speak on, a laptop to look at, a platform to stand on, if it was not for our head negress in charge. Everyone give it up for the one and the only, our sister Casey Layman. Casey,
what's going on, everybody?
Oh, and she always comes in with a "What's going on, everybody?" Normally she's doing the Mickey Bay eyelash extensions, but I wanted to say Mickey Bay. We had a remix for you, Mickey Bay eyelash extensions, but we will not be doing that on the air. We'll do that off the air for you in person. So this week I want to talk about, there was some recent, beautiful, actually it's American history. On Tuesday, July 30th, the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences elected its first African-American president in Sheryl Boone Isaacs. Boone Isaacs, who is beginning her 21st year as governor representing the public relations branch, served as Academy first vice president during the past year, and she also produced the 2012 Governor's Awards. Sister KC hit me up when I was in North Carolina at the National Black Theater Festival. Was like, we got to talk about this. And I was like, oh, we'll get to it. I mean, it was good, and I wanted to, but I was like, I want to contextualize it because what's important about that, and what is how do we frame this? And the way I was thinking about we could frame it is like in the era of President Obama, the first African American, first biracial, first person of color president of the United States, Michelle Obama, the first black female first lady, first woman of color first lady, in the year of Shonda Rhimes, in the year of tycoons like Oprah Winfrey, media empires like Oprah Winfrey and Tyler Perry, and now you have Sheryl Boone Isaacs. How do we feel about movies coming out in 2013 called The Butler, about black people in servitude, 12 Years a Slave, about more slavery, Django, slavery fantasy. And there's something else that recently I was The Help. All of these things happening and are about, or you could even say Precious, all happening surrounding the era of President Obama, all of this black success, but we still have movies that are depicting a part of our history that is absolutely important and necessary. But why is it that we can't get major studios to fund historical pictures about happy times of black people in America, like we've been all asking for, the Harlem Renaissance? Why can't we get a picture about a personality in American history who no one's heard about. I guess people would say the butler is that. Curious to get your thoughts on it. I was just looking at the 12 Years a Slave trailer. I was telling Chris, I'm like, I'm going to go see that. It just looks quality. First of all, Chiwetel Ejiofor could do no wrong. This brother can act his butt off. The Butler trailer, I ain't going to lie, it gets you a little teary eye, especially when Oprah has that moment where she was like, this butler is the reason why you got this life. I mean, you know, it gets very Negro acting, and it's very inspiring and inspirational and heartfelt. So on one hand, I'm like, well, I'm happy because there was a time when these stories weren't being told. Right. And this is our history. And particularly 12 Years a Slave, it looks like they did a really good job on that. But is it time to tell more stories? You know, we know that we have independent film movements such as Affirm. Shout out to Ava DuVernay and the African-American Film Release Movement. All the wonderful work they're doing. Tulane.
Go see Big Words.
Go see Big Words. Go see... Venus versus Venus, you know, the ESPN documentary that Ava directed. So I just wanted to get your thoughts and quickly just chop this up because we've got three intelligent people here who your opinions matter. And we all are, you know, connoisseurs of the cinema and of social justice. So what are your thoughts?
I think, well, in answer to your question, is it time to tell more stories? Yes, it's always time, I think, for us to get more diversity of storytelling of the Black experience. I think I can accept these stories over Three Strikes or Locked Up or all the, like, crazy party, like, silly, no depth at all films that often come out and are marketed to our particular demographic. Mm-hmm. Like, I know there's a bunch of us that go and see those movies. Mm-hmm. But I hate that for so long. That seemed to be our primary option, that and Tyler Perry. So either you're going to see a Madea film or you got to go see Three Strikes. Or, you know what I'm saying? Like, just.
But some, even before Madea, what was our option? And I would say even before the Tyler Perry, I think we did have decent film. I mean, first of all, Spike was in his groove. Spike had a whole good 10 years where he was just solid movies were coming out.
True.
And then you just had, but you had those
Hood
Black
Tales.
You had Hood Tales, but you also had Black romantic comedies that were solid.
Yeah, like Love Jones
and even,
Best
you know,
Man.
Best Man and Brown Sugar, which are all, you know.
Yeah.
So is it just we're in a new era of films, or is it just the ebb and flow of the industry, or does white Hollywood constantly want to see us in a subservient role?
I would say so. I don't think it's a coincidence that now that we have a black face at the highest position in America, that now we're starting to get these slave movies. I don't think that's a coincidence. In the help, I would have liked to see these done before. I mean, I'm a history guy, so 12 Years a Slave looks good to me because I'm into all of that. Mm-hmm. To see how it's depicted and are they going to depict it right? Mm-hmm. But it is a question. I mean, that period of with the Love Jones, and it feels like that period of a different world where black culture was in and we were, you know. And we enjoyed going to see it. I just wish we had more black dramas. We are slowly pulling them out, like Ava DuVernay, just making films about the black experience, but also just a film about life. And it just so happens that the leads are black.
Right. And there's no tragic circumstance associated with it. It's just... It can be just fun. It could be sci-fi. I mean, is there black sci-fi? Is there black murder mystery?
That's the
is
next
there?
Thing.
Yeah,
we got romance.
Outside
I mean,
of Devil in a Blue Dress.
It's like where is we exist in these worlds as well?
Yeah,
and it's and it, I don't know. I think for me, I agree with you. Like, I'm really looking forward to it just because it's a history buff, and I want to see our story done right.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? When I see Schindler's List, I can't even watch Schindler's List anymore because that movie tripped me out so bad the first time. I was like, I don't need to see this again.
Yeah.
I'm talking about, I don't do well, first of all. I don't know who does well with oppression movies, but I definitely don't do well with oppression. Like, Roots, not trying to see that really again. I just, that, anything that deals with a people, human beings being treated less than an animal, mm-hmm. and being slaughtered, it frightens me because it just reminds me that what human beings are capable of.
Yeah, extreme violence.
Extreme violence. I mean, extreme Fruitvale hatred. Station. Fruitvale Station. Yeah. And you know what? I'm appreciative of Fruitvale. Like, there's this independent movie moment happening that I'm actually very, very excited about. And maybe that's the answer. Maybe that's where we're moving towards is, you know, forget the studios. Let's completely tell our own stories. Let's put all of our energy into Affirm, mm-hmm. and the Affirms of the world and all those who, and the Pan-African film festivals, and let them come to us, because at the end of the day, our stories, you know, I always say, there's this movie that came out that said A Day Without a Mexican. I want to know, what would a day without a black person be? Mm-hmm. What if black people had never contributed to American society? You'd have no jazz. You probably wouldn't have no music.
That
Let's just
actually
be real.
Would be a really interesting story.
You wouldn't have any America.
He dropped the bomb. Was that deep? He said you wouldn't have any America. And that is the truth.
That would be,
you know,
an
interesting
story.
Is now, you know, we're fighting to have our story told. And in some respect, this is the frustration of America, because it shouldn't be us fighting to have our story told. America should be happy to tell the story of America. But again, you know, the birth defect of America, as Dr. Condoleezza Rice said at a Martin Luther King Celebration Day luncheon, is the birth defect of America is slavery. Mm-hmm. So it's always lingering with us, and we're not, and we just don't want to deal with it. And so I wonder, you know, now, am I looking forward to seeing The Butler? Absolutely, because this is a man who is an unsung hero, you know?
Yeah.
And so his story deserves to be told, but it's like maybe we're just that behind in telling the truth about American stories, because think about it. Think about all the stories that haven't been told through the decades of purely white America narrative.
Yeah, and isn't right? there a novel, not a novel, but an actual autobiographical book about a woman who was not a butler but a maid at the White House for many years.
I'm not sure if there probably is.
Yeah, I need to look that up, because I remember her story. I don't know if she died within recent years, but I know her story got some buzz a few years ago. I find it interesting that, in addition to what you're saying, at least for this year, there seems to be more stories centering around the White House and tragedy.
So
like,
true.
I don't know how many
White House down.
Right. White House explosions.
And there's a black man usually at the center of it.
Yeah. Yeah. I find it's that to be interesting, too.
Not a coincidence.
Yeah. I don't think it's coincidental either.
Well, we do know that if anything happened to President Obama, you want to see Negroes go crazy.
Yeah.
Let something happen to the children, Michelle, or President Obama. Oh, no. I'm serious. You think Trayvon. Oh, no, no. Let something happen to President Obama.
Yeah.
This country would be upended. Absolutely. Like, you talk about a civil war would break out.
Yeah.
But, you know, back to this, it's interesting because I was reminded by Ms. Boone Isaacs' appointment that there's still first happening in America. And America is yet a young country. And that we should not be surprised by these moments, and maybe these stories being told are absolutely necessary, even though it's 2013, mm-hmm. and we feel like we're removed from the civil rights movement. We're not that removed. There are still descendants who, I mean, hello, look at Representative John Lewis. Congressman John Lewis was marching with Dr. King right along. He was with it from the beginning,
mm-hmm.
still alive, still fighting for justice. So maybe it does take years of removal from a situation, and we can't, and we're really not that far removed from slavery.
No.
My great grandmother, who passed in 08, no, I'm sorry, in 06, I mean, her grandmother was a slave.
Yeah. And I feel like our kids need to hear these stories. Like, we feel removed from civil rights struggle. They're way removed. Like, can't even really make sense of how that has any relationship to them at all. And because they've been hit over the head as far as our education system is concerned with the same thing, slavery, Booker T. Washington, Harriet Tubman, Martin Luther King Jr., that's it. You know what I'm saying? It's so funny. My dad and I were having this conversation. He mentioned Booker T. And I realized just between he and I, the generational gap, I'm like, I didn't even get as much Booker T. as you did, Dad. Because for me, it's like Harriet, Martin, slavery, and that's it. So it would be, I think it's good to make it a continuing topic versus sweeping it under the rug because you got all these other people around us telling us we need to get over it. You know what I'm saying? We need to stop acting like injustice actually still exists. We need to stop acting like race has any bearing on anything that happens in this country. And as long as these stories are still in the spotlight, it reminds people, yes, it does. Like, you can't remove the birth defect of this country without actually dealing with it. There's so much healing that needs to take place around it. And the moment we stop talking about it, the moment it becomes obsolete for some people, like it never, ever existed. And I think that's the power of a film like Schindler's List and all the films that come out that touch on the Holocaust, The Boy in the Striped Pajamas. It's a constant reminder that situation happened. Even if it's not the central part of the story and it's on the periphery, it's a reminder, this happened to our people.
And I don't think we should ever get over these moments of horrific human interaction.
No.
Horrific human behavior.
No.
We should never get over that. And I don't like this idea that we need to move on and get over. Yes, I think we should not operate in a victimized capacity.
Yes.
But I would say that it is absolutely important to remember how you got to that situation, what led to that, and what caused its perpetual existence.
Yeah, so that you don't repeat it.
And I mean, we're going there right now.
It's about learning it, because I mean, that's the challenge with, you know, the 12 Years a Slave, that on one end, it's a story that needs to be told, and we
can't it's a different story,
that
right?
We can't forget that that happened, but I can totally imagine there'll be people out there who, just like you said, it's, I already saw Roots. Why do I need to see this? It's, Django was easier to digest because it was funny. It was, had some truth, but it was,
and it was violent. It was
right.
Like,
and it was a
niggas getting
movie.
Back at Whitey.
Right. Because you have people who are like, I don't want to see just slavery. I'm like, well, it happened. You know, I'm tired of this acting like racism doesn't exist or injustice. I'm like, injustice is going to happen. It's been happening. It still happens. It's probably going to happen tomorrow, you know, amongst everybody. Mm-hmm. You can have injustice within the same race. Yeah. All of that goes down. And I mean, look at what the Spike Lee doing, trying to do Kickstarter. And I remember when he first announced it, I saw so many folk on Twitter were like, I ain't supporting that shit. He got money. Why does he need my help putting out a film? I'm like, well, he's been asking for help. He's always asked for help. Like, if he didn't have help, then we wouldn't have Malcolm X.
It's sad, too, that would even be a response. Like, if anybody is humble enough to say, I need help and I need money, like, to go to come back with, I'm not going to help you, that's just sad. Because yeah. If you don't want to help somebody, then don't help them. But if they're out there asking for money, they obviously need it. Yeah. You know? And Spike... No, the stuff that Spike wants to do, nobody wants to do it. And listen, Spike runs off at the mouth and does it, but I'm sorry, Spike has contributed too much to the landscape of American cinema. He will go down as an icon. He changed the game with Do the Right Thing. Yeah. He is one of the best films about a black American he directed, Malcolm X, period.
And it got no acknowledgement.
No acknowledgement, no love, which lets you know it was good because it was so real.
And he can do both sides. He can get and he can get historic and real truthful,
exactly.
But he can also make movies where it's just, hey, this is just what's going on.
Well,
in,
look
in
at
the
his
community.
Documentary style. Mm-hmm. I mean, hello, When the Levees Broke, please, if you're not touched by that documentary, you don't have a soul.
Yeah. And the thing
is beautiful.
Spike does have money. You know what I'm saying? We can't act like he didn't amass a good amount of wealth from his body of work. He does have money.
And he's still amassing that.
Yeah, and he probably could fund his own project. So I understand people's hesitancy in that regard, in the sense that you do have your own money to make films. I think his thing is, I'm guessing his statement is trying to say, you know, the big machine that exists in Hollywood doesn't want to give me the money to make the movies I want. I need the people's support to finish my, you know, to complete my films.
Right.
Yeah, we can't act like films is all cheap. Everybody like, well, you can just get out your pocket. Like, do you know how much these movies
First of all,
make?
Do you know how much films cost? And also, is he supposed to go broke making the film? Like, I don't believe in that either. Like, I don't, I'm sure he's contributing some money to that film.
Yeah, somebody else would be then like, so am I supposed to go broke so you can make your film?
But that's not, you don't have to go broke. You hear, Kickstarter is not, does not say you go broke to contribute. Kickstarter, as you well know, is about people just, the small amounts create the large amount.
Right.
And so, I mean, I guess that's a whole nother topic about like just negativity and like why do people have to hate. Like, if you don't want to give, don't give. If somebody's asking, they obviously need, particularly somebody like Spike Lee, who's got so much pride. Like, I can't imagine that he wouldn't, if he had it and could do it himself, wouldn't just do it himself.
I'm not going to assume that, because I think Kickstarter has made it possible. Kickstarter, all the sites have made it possible where you can lean on the generosity of others who believe in your dream to fund it. I'm sure there's a whole lot of projects that get funded by, you know, regular people just because they recognize I could put all the money up, but if I just make this, if I package it right and sell it to the people, I can get them to pay for it, which keeps the money in my pocket. It keeps more money in my pocket. Mm. And in the event I put out this project and it tanks, I'm not losing twice as much money. Mm-hmm. Right. You know,
and if it does,
saying
well,
all of that to say, and if it does well, great. Better. Mm-hmm. It's better for everybody. Now I've made more money on top of the money I already got. I like you both. Think that it would be important for us to support Spike, but I say that to say I understand people's hesitancy at the same time. Can I ask a question real quick? I'm sorry.
Hurry it up now. We're probably going long now. You know we're not allowed to go long. You're the one that set the rules.
That's why I'm allowed to break them. When it came to Cheryl Booth. This is how me and Brother Malcolm get down all the time, for real sibling situation. Mm-hmm. Cheryl Boone Isaacs. The question I wanted to ask, and it goes back to expectations, and I feel like I've been checked the last 2 weeks in regards to me wanting to ask about us having expectations of Black people in influential positions. Should we expect now for there to be more films coming out or more good Black film recognition by the Academy because she's in this position?
I absolutely think it's a responsibility of anybody in a position of leadership, based on whatever agenda, culture, whatever you represent, whatever faction you represent, you have a responsibility. As a woman, she has a responsibility. If it was a Jewish man in that responsibility and in that position, they would probably want to make sure that the Jewish story was told. If there was an Asian or Latino person, I would expect that they would definitely be an advocate. You're an advocate. And so, and unlike the presidency of the United States, the president of the Academy has a lot of power in images. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You have a lot of power in images. And so, and you're not being blocked necessarily by a Congress or other governing bodies.
Right.
You are the governing body.
Right.
So I would expect that, not that you know, like tomorrow it's like we're going to get 3 Love Joneses, 4 Best Men, and 16 Malcolm X's. No, I just expect that she will kick the door open a little bit more, and that the Shonda Rhimes of the world will now be writing features and having them produced, and Ava DuVernay's will be recognized. And, you know, and the thing about Ava is Ava's not necessarily trying to be on the, you know, Ava is all about the independent movement.
Yeah.
So I just hope that, you know, she just provides opportunity for our stories to be told in a light that reflect our diversity and the breadth of the Black experience.
Yeah.
Not just comedy, stereotypes, urban environments, cops, robbers, whatever that is, prison, whatever that is.
Right.
Any of those moments. And that, like you said, Chris, more dramas, more historic moments.
Historic moments, please.
Because I just get concerned about us losing our history.
Yeah, can we get some black period pieces?
Yeah, I just hope it will, like you said, more opportunities for those who have felt slighted, whether they're people of color or just anybody's story that's not the norm who felt like they haven't been able to get through. Maybe this opens up a little bit more. I mean, and that's all I want. You just want to take another step forward. It don't have to be like Michael Jordan. I'm jumping all like 16 feet.
I don't have to. Yeah, right. She doesn't have to. And the thing about it is I don't think it's fair also to people who take on this position to expect them to take on. That's a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
First of all, they're in a position where they answer to not just black people. She answers to the whole academy, which lest we forget, it's pretty much white male.
Yeah, and okay? I did find it kind of interesting too. I hate to stir the pot, but that this is the first year that there's an African American in the position of president, and it also is the first year that they nominated a vice president. And the head of Pixar.
Guess the Negro don't do well, or
right,
do
or under, undermine. Let's give her some support.
Right.
Just in case. I found that very, I was like, oh, okay.
I mean,
so we'll give you this.
Right. But you're going to need help because you can't do it by yourself. Mm-hmm. Well, you know what? Let's hope for the best. And we should check back in and, you know, within a year and keep up with her and see what happens with her.
Don't turn out like Deborah Lee, Cheryl Boone. Don't turn out like Deborah Lee. Don't do it.
That's such a good way to end this. And we want to thank our other laymans for joining us on this edition of Culture Connection. Don't forget Mickey Bay Eyelash Extensions. Don't forget the Brothers Layman Happy Hour. Don't forget the 15-minute break. And please always remember to make a career out of humanity. Commit yourself to the noble struggle for equal rights. You will make a greater person of yourself, a greater nation of your country, and a finer world to live in. The Reverend Dr. Martin Luther the King, Jr. Until next time, family, peace.